Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algie, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy. Hey, folks. Even though Bill's going to tell you here in a few minutes, this is episode number 351. I'm going to tell you that it's episode 351 because Bill actually has a guest that he interviewed by himself. But I wanted to add this to this week's episode because Brian Harris, one of our number one fans, is going to join us tonight for a few minutes because Brian and I went to the Old National Events Plaza in Evansville, Indiana, last Wednesday night to see Foreigner and Cage Willis. And this past Sunday night, our good friend Bill Algie went and saw Fozzy and Ugly Kid Joe. So we're just going to talk about those shows real quick.
Cool.
Who wants to go first?
Nope. I don't mind. I'll just go. There. Brian, you got to get a word in, man. Otherwise, you're going to get ran over. Oh, that's okay. So I went to see Ugly Kid Joe last night. Scott Crouch is a guy that, I think he listens to the podcast periodically, but I know him from some record shows and things like that I've been to, and through Chris Sinzak and those guys. So Chris Sinzak and Aaron Camaro and a couple other guys came up and went to see Ugly Kid Joe and Fozzy, and they had another opener too, Patrol of something, I don't know, but I didn't get the name. And I only saw the last two songs, which actually were really good, so I was kind of ticked because I didn't get to see the rest of the show set. But we were
Bill sounds like he's been drinking and he's got hiccups.
I just got the hiccups.
He had a bad day.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Anyway, they were really good. So it was at the Hi-Fi Annex in downtown or in Broad Ripple. And no shit, that's not right at all. Fountain Square is where it was. Fountain Square in Indianapolis on the south side. And great venue. It's an outdoor thing. It's on the back side of next to, I guess, an old Murphy's five and dime kind of store. So it's kind of cool. But it's in a parking lot, basically. So you're just standing on asphalt. And it's kind of funny. Notice last night when you look down the lines, the parking lines are like going like across you when you're sitting there watching the show. It's like, should have your foot on the line. I thought it was kind of funny. I wanted to see Fozzy, and Fozzy was Fozzy was a bear. That's not right.
Waka waka waka
waka waka. Yeah, it was actually it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. Fozzy Band played for a pretty good hour. I mean, it was pretty close to that. They use a lot of some synthesizer stuff and things like that, so they had some definitely tracked music, which I didn't care about because they had other, guitar players and drummer and that kind of stuff. But they tracked in the some of that other stuff, which I don't have an issue with really. They can't take the record on the road typically. If you have instruments that you use that you don't have band members for, so it's got to take it with what you got. Beginning of the show, his mic was a little bit low, didn't go very well. But he finally got it fixed and you could actually hear him, which was good, but he was totally into it. Chris Jericho is the lead singer for Fozzy. He's also a WWE wrestler and an AWE wrestler. Something else wrestler. I don't know what else he's doing now, but really he put on a pretty good entertaining show. Definitely you could tell there were a lot of people at that show last night that were wrestling fans because they had wrestling shirts on, or they brought little Chris Jericho guys action with them and stuff figures. Like that. Action figures. Which is kind of cool.
Can't use the D word. That's not manly enough.
That's right. Sorry. But they did a set list. Like I said, it was about an hour. I'm not sure how many songs it was, but overall I thought it was very entertaining. At the end, Chris climbed up the support, that support truss stuff they have that holds lighting rigs up typically. He climbed up there and sang the last song, which is their biggest hit, Judas. He sang that from hanging on there, and literally it was like every time he'd flinch, he'd like grab himself and make sure he had, you know, foot wrapped or a leg wrapped around the thing or whatever, so he didn't end up falling and busting his ass, which wouldn't look very good. So that was really good. And then they had a little mic problem with Ugly Kid Joe, with the guitarist mic, and they finally got that worked out. So they started a little bit late. They have a short, they have a cutoff at Downtown Indy at 10 o'clock. So it had to end at 10. It ended a little bit before that. But I was impressed. I mean, I don't know that band very well. I listened, went back and listened to the essentials that are on iTunes just to catch up with some stuff, catch up with them. But they were really, really good. I know that it's only like two, I think two original members. I think the lead singer and maybe the lead guitar player, maybe the only originals left, but they were, it was really, really a good show. The lead singer very much has, definitely good with the crowd and works the crowd really well. And we did a lot of chanting and screaming and that kind of stuff. And, he engaged, there's like little kid that was sitting on top of his dad's head right next to me, on his neck, you know, and, his little brother was running around. So the two of them, the little yard apes, were creating a problem for me, to be honest. But once they got settled down, so he had him on his shoulders, and, lead singer said, "What's your name?" And his name was, I think his name was Ted, something like that. But she kept calling him Teddy. And those two were like, he kept talking to him the whole show, which is pretty cool. And talked about what a good daddy you had to bring him to a rock show on a, you know, school night and stuff like that. So it was pretty cool. But, you know, they obviously did, you know, the big hit at the end. And that, you know, it was, place was just rocking. They did a really, like I said, they did a really good job. I was impressed. I'd go see them again for sure. I'd go see Fozzy again as well. Overall, it was a good night. You know, it was, met Chris Sinzak and Michelle and Aaron Camaro and his wife, and another gentleman and his wife that were there. The other couple drove down from Fort Wayne, and,
was it Shane?
Aaron and Chris. It was Shane. That's correct. That's
the Mooger Fugger.
Mooger Fugger. Yeah, yep. That's what I thought. Yep. So, yep, he was down there. I could not think of his name, saved my life. But anyway, so we chatted. We had dinner together. We went to Kuma's. And while we were doing that, we were starting at dinner. Chris and Aaron were interviewing Kloss from Ugly Kid Joe, which they had a really cool interview, I think. So they're excited about it. It worked out pretty well. I didn't know it, but that's the first time that Ugly Kid Joe has toured the United States in 25 years.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a big deal.
A lot of the old bands are heading out again.
Yeah, he said he got a call for some people that they were starting to get some demand, and people were asking about them and stuff like that. And they put together some stuff, and they're doing just some short stints. But I think they're doing like a month or something like that. But they're packing in like 25 shows in a month or something. I mean, they're doing shit all over the place, though.
Woo.
But it was good. I don't know if it was that many, but it was quite a bit. But yeah. So it was great. Great night. Weather couldn't have been better. Man, gosh, it was awesome. So, nice evening.
Right on. Good. So Brian and I went and saw Foreigner at Old National Events Plaza, and I'll let Brian talk.
I love Foreigner. I've been a fan since the very beginning, and after I had put some thought into it, I've probably seen Foreigner the most out of any band after Kiss. I know it has to be at least 25 times.
Wow.
And it was great. I mean, they're finishing up another one of their greatest hits tours. Their last few tours have been advertised as greatest hits tours. But like they use kind of a variation of the name, and actually they're going to be heading out on the road pretty much right after they finish this tour to do their farewell tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I have tickets for that in Indy on July 21st, and actually Loverboy is opening for them.
Ooh.
So that's going to be an awesome show.
Ooh. Yep. I'll be there.
Yeah. And you know, talking about no remaining members, Foreigner doesn't have any original members left.
Yeah, honestly, this was the first time that I had seen them that Mick hadn't at least come out and played a song or two.
Yeah, yeah, and I was going to say that this would be the first show I've seen where Mick did not come out on stage. The last two or three tours that I've, or times at least that I've seen them, he was out for at least a third of the show. And yeah, he didn't appear. And also, this was the first time that I'd seen them where they didn't have a sax player. So their song Urgent was really different with a keytar instead of a saxophone player. It wasn't horrible, but it just wasn't the same. But
it was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you got Jeff Pilson on bass. He's great. He's a great cheerleader on stage. He really helped get the crowd into it. And he pulls applause, you know, for the other members and stuff. And Kelly Hansen, who's been with the band forever, and he was the former lead singer of the band Hurricane. That dude, his voice has just been perfect for Foreigner. He does every one of those songs justice. He, you know, and he's a great front man. He, I mean, you know, he's got to be, you know, in his late 60s, you know, yeah, at least late 60s.
I don't think Kelly's that old.
Well, I mean, he was,
I would say he's in his, I would say he's in his late 50s.
Well, I'm 59, and I remember seeing Hurricane live in concert. I think he's probably mid-60s, I would think.
I don't know.
We'll have 62.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
But, yeah, he runs that stage. You know, like I said, great front man. He's just all over the stage. And the set list, I mean, you know, when you look at the set list, and they've never played like really long shows, you know, usually hour and a half or just under. And, but, you know, they're all hits. One song I noted that they haven't played the last couple times around that they added to this one, they did play Blue Morning, Blue Day, which,
yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just, you know, and I got to see it with my concert buddy, Alan. So, yeah, it was great. Alan could speak more for Cage Willis if he wants to cover them, because he knows those guys. But, yeah, it was a great night, great show.
Yeah. The only thing Foreigner-wise that I didn't really care for in this, and we've discussed this on this show a bazillion times, you know, the piano solo and the drum solo. Take those things out, put another song or two in there, because that was like 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, that's two more radio hits right there. You know. But other than that, it was great. Now, to your comment about the keytar being different, you know, it was different. It was kind of interesting just because it was a keytar. And obviously, it's not going to sound like a saxophone. But I did like that the keyboard player up there did get the opportunity to get on that keytar, get around, run up and down the stage, and goof off during Urgent.
Yeah, it was entertaining. Yeah,
because I mean, he was very entertaining, I thought. And another thing I wanted to point out was during Urgent, I think it was during Urgent, there were two songs that Pilson played piano on.
Yeah,
and the,
really?
And the new guitar player, they've got a new guitar player, a young guy. But they've got a new guitar player that he played bass on two songs while Pilson played piano.
Huh.
Yeah. Wow. So that, I mean, that was something that was kind of different too. And it was really cool.
Yeah.
But I'm not surprised, usually, because Pilson is such a well-rounded musician.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mick Jones would have normally played piano during those songs.
Right. Cold as Ice was one of them he played piano on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking Urgent was the other one too. I don't remember. I've slept since then.
did they do Star Rider?
No.
Nope.
See, now that's what I'm hoping to see them do on their farewell tour, is dig into their catalog a little bit.
Oh, I'm sure Mick will be. Well, they usually play Star Rider.
Yeah, and that's a Mick show. Jones, that's a Mick song. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a feeling he'll be on those farewell shows.
I hope so.
Yeah, honestly, that's the reason I asked that is because I don't really care for that song. So I was like, damn, awesome.
But speaking of Cage Willis, the drummer for Cage Willis on this tour actually was the drummer that just left my current band. So I don't know I do not know why he would want to leave a country cover band to go on tour for the band opening for Foreigner. I don't get it. So no, I'm real happy that Cage got that tour. He's a really good dude. He's a local Evansville musician, and you know, he's got a really good Southern rock vibe.
Yep.
You know, it was a trio. It was Cage Willis, Andrew Logan on bass, and Benji Colling on the drums. And I don't know what to say other than they were really good. I was glad to see them get to do a hometown show, and I was proud of Evansville for showing up for the opening act. You know, because you know how a lot
sold out. It was packed.
I think a lot of times people don't come in for the opening act because they don't want to see the opening act. But Evansville showed up for their hometown boys, so I was really proud of that.
Cool. That's very cool.
So, and a side note, my business partner, John Kern, ran sound for them. He was actually on the same tour with them. So I've been kind of flying solo as AVL Event Services in Evansville for a few weeks. But he did sound for them here in Evansville. And at one of the on the roof shows that I do for the Arts Council here, I did sound for those guys last year or the year before. I can't remember. I've slept since then again. But anyway.
And then we had a Memorial High School Choir sing.
I Want to Know What Love Is. Yeah.
That's nice. Right.
Yeah. That was, and what was really funny was I had seen an interview with the choir director a couple of days before that. And he was like, I'm going to get to be on stage with Foreigner. He was up there with them kids singing right along. And most of those kids, and I understand, you know, it's the biggest crowd they've probably ever been in front of. And most of those kids stood there pretty stiff, but there was one girl up there that she was into it. She was, a star.
Yeah. So there's always one, right?
I was really happy for her, you know, because it takes guts to get up on a stage like that especially when you're a teenager.
Yep.
Yeah. But, that's really all we've got. Just wanted to throw out a couple of quick concert reviews, which turned into like 15 minutes.
It's all right.
So, here we go.
Hey, this is Bill Algie from the Ages of Rock podcast. This is episode number 351. I am with Bruno Rabel from The Defiance. Previously, back in the day, he was from Danger Danger. So how's it going, Bruno?
Good. How you doing? And just for all you listeners out there, it's Ravel. My last name, Ravel.
Perfect. Okay. Ravel. I should have asked that question.
That's all right, man. All right. So, everything's going good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. And I tell you, I was so excited. And we interview, people here and there and stuff like that. But I was so excited to see this record because I have the first two. I have the Defiance record and I have the Zocuso record.
Mm-hmm.
And have been like, just like, what is going on? But I, keep looking. It's like, there's nothing new. And then I got this from your publicist and I'm like, oh my God, thank you, Jesus. So it's cool. And I'm not joking. I'm not blowing smoke up your butt or anything. And it's a really, really good record, man.
Oh, thanks.
Really good record.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Thanks a lot, man. That's what we do. We do it for the, the fans. So yes. I'm glad that you're digging it.
Yeah. But you're killing me, man. It's like 5 years between records.
I think there was a little thing called a pandemic that got there, in the way.
You know how it's kind of funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of mess. Can I curse on this thing?
Oh yeah. You can say whatever you want on this show. It is. Yeah. You're good. You're good.
Yeah.
So, what's the process for you guys? Cause it does, the records are coming out, a couple years apart. Are you involved in other projects or what's going on with that?
Yeah, I mean, we're all kind of doing, a bunch of other stuff. I mean, Danger, not very active at the moment, but I mean, it has been active. So, and then, I'm constantly doing other projects and working in the studio, recording, mixing, all of that stuff. So It's the main thing for us to get started is just, you know, having some free time and getting the urge. So, I think there was a couple of years between the first and second one. And then, you know, I think we had planned to get this going a lot sooner, but then the pandemic hit and it was just like, we were like, what the hell? Nobody knew what was going on. And, I spoke to Paul and we just thought that it'd be a perfect time since we were locked up to start writing. But, you know, again, with us, there's a lot of, you know, life distractions as well as business distractions with this stuff. So we don't really kind of put a deadline on it. We just kind of go with the flow and we figure whenever it's ready, it's ready. So it just so happened that it took, you know, a solid year of, you know, interruptions and writing and, you know, moodiness and all of that. And it was a lot of that going on too, a lot of anxiety and depression and uncertainty. And it's like, it's really hard to make a record when all that shit's going on, you know?
For sure. And there's, you know, I think one of the things that happened with that, and we talk about it, unfortunately, the pandemic stuff won't go away for some reason with, you know, especially in the music world, because there was this big lull for things for so long. And, you know, it created a lot of havoc for a lot of people. And, you know, I obviously you guys are not, you know, we're subject to that as well, which is, you know, problematic. So, but yeah, it's the good part is it also gives some people some time to kind of do some project stuff they hadn't had a chance to do, which is kind of cool. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Which is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was, you know, literally a perfect storm between, you know, just everything shutting down. And then also, you know, the fact that we're all getting a little bit older. So I don't want to say that had something to do with it, but it does, because, you know, especially with, you know, you want to call us legacy acts or acts that, you know, AOR, whatever it is like that, the whole genre, the age of the bands and the musicians and the fans kind of getting, you know, to another, you know, another kind of milestone as far as age. So everyone's attention span is that much shorter and everyone's a little bit more edgy and aggravated and all, you know what I mean? Like life just like gets in the way. It's just unbelievable. So between all the panic of the pandemic and then kind of realizing, you know, settling into it and realizing what was going to happen. And then also the fact that we're all a little bit older, it just like ruined like everything, man. It's crazy. And you're right. It's still, and I don't think it has recovered yet. I think it's still kind of, it's on an upward trajectory, which is great, but it's just, it really messed things up good, man.
That is for sure. Yeah. And I'm not getting any younger either. I'm 57. Yeah. I'm 57 now. So,
So I got a couple years on you.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it, but you know what, the thing is, I like about it is now is there are some bands that are just starting to come back out, you know, like you guys and, you know, putting some new stuff out and we'll get them back out on the road. Which is great. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I went to a show last night. I went to see Ugly Kid Joe and, which was, I've never seen them before because I really wasn't into them back in the day.
Right.
And, they were here in Indianapolis and a buddy of mine said, hey, you want to go? And Fozzie was opening. And I thought, sure. Can't be a horrible show. It was awesome. They did a great job. So I think that,
cool.
You know, it's also, you know, I think that it was, you know, it was in a club, but it was pretty packed. So
people are starving for it, right?
People are starving for it. And you know, this was kind of a neat venue because it was also outside. So there were kids bringing, you know, parents bringing their kids there and stuff like that. And, you know, I started taking my kids to shows when they were, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, something like that.
Sure.
And because I, you know, my dad took me. So it's so important. And, you know, and it's introduced them to new music and not just the music they're listening to on the radio, which, you know, as we get older, that most of that we listen to that they're listening to are like, what the hell is that?
Right. Yeah, man. Absolutely. It's so funny that you mentioned Ugly Kid Joe, because just yesterday I was in my car and I was like flipping around the radio stations and I put on, you know, Hair Nation for a second. And then, you know, I Hate Everything About You came on. And I just, like, right away, I go, man, I go, Ugly Kid Joe. I go, whatever happened to these guys? I go, I wonder if they're still playing.
Yeah, it was interesting that this was their first U.S. tour in 25 years.
Yeah, yeah, wow.
Yeah, which is cool. But
I noticed.
Yeah,
that's cool,
man. Oh, okay, we digress. We got to get back to you guys. So are you guys doing any planning for any touring of this record?
Well, we kind of leave the door open. You know, we're not saying that we're not going to tour. We're going to tour. But the thing is that, you know, for a small band like the Defiance, who's like, I mean, we're really not, you know, we're people really know us for the other things we've done. So to go on like a full tour, especially here in the States, is just like it's a logistical nightmare, you know, because you got, you know, I'm the only one that's from the States. And, you know, Paul Singer is from Canada. Rob, a guitar player, is from Sweden. So we're all over the place. And it's like, you know, look, if the right offer came in to do a show or shows, you know, and it made sense, of course we do it. But, you know, we're kind of at a stage in our careers and our lives where we can't, you know, we can't just pile into a van and rough it, you know, at this point. So it just has to make sense. I, you know, I feel bad because everyone's like, oh man, you guys need to come here and do a show. You need to come here and do a show. And I said, I go, yeah, it's so easy. Just push a button and there we are. You know, it's just a lot of prep and planning and stuff and visas and this and that. And it's like, it's really tough, especially because we're not all from, you know, the same neighborhood. We can't just like, you know, go do even, you know, an East Coast run. I mean, I'm on the East Coast. So we're really looking at doing select dates if they make sense, of course. And, you know, and again, if there's a demand for it. So that's kind of where we are with that.
Yeah, cool. Well, I hope there is a demand because I
me too.
And I hope it gets in the Midwest somewhere because I could, you know, that would be close because I'd love to see it. But getting, let's talk about the record for a little bit because I know that's where you're here. So, there's what, 8, 9 tracks on this record? Is that right?
There's actually 11, and 11. There's a track in Japan. Yes, 11 tracks
Do you have any standouts? Because I'm telling you, I was so excited when I got it. I hit the play button, and I've listened to it about 35 times.
Oh man, Jesus!
Because awesome. I'm out there. I'm literally painting my front door this weekend because we're having a big event at our house, and I'm out there singing along with 19 Summertime. My wife goes, what are you singing? And I'm like, yeah, it's this new song by this band. I'm going to interview the, you know, bass player from it on Monday. So she's like, sounds pretty good. So yeah,
it's kind of cool. It's always, it seems to be the reaction. Everybody goes, who are these guys? Standout songs. I mean, it's weird because as we recorded the record, there were some that I like was really attached to. And then there were others that I didn't even think would make the record. And I mean, obviously 19 Summertime is one that, you know, instantly when we wrote it, I go, yeah, everyone's going to like this one. I knew that. And I mean, I tend to, my mood swings are kind of extreme these days. So sometimes I get into like, you know, the real aggressive stuff, like Against the Grain and Hey Life and those kind of tracks. And then there's other times where I like the sappier stuff. So, I mean, I guess if I had to say standout tracks would probably be 19 Summertime, maybe Against the Grain, and maybe something like Another Time, Another Place, which is totally left field for us. Well, left of center, but it's like, it's just weird. It's like, when I listen to that song, I always say to myself, I go, wow, I go, you will never hear this you would never hear this like back in the day on an 80s band record. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I feel like the styles of the music, especially on this one, go, it's much wider. It goes from like a super heavy track to a super sappy track. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying that just happens to be, you know, as far as like instrumentation and the feeling of the song. So, yeah, I guess those three are good. I mean, but I like all of them. I wouldn't put them on the record if I didn't like them all.
Yeah, it's kind of funny when you ask somebody that question and it's like, which one of your kids don't you like?
Yeah.
It's kind of the same. It's like, no, that's not it really.
There's always one though that you don't like.
Yeah, there's always one. It's funny on our show a couple of weeks ago, we were given, I think it was like 12 or 13 records, and we created our own KTEL record. You remember KTEL records from back in, you know, sure, back in the 80s? Yeah. So we created our own KTEL record out of it. And it was so funny how we did it. And it was like, so we all had our songs that were like number 5 on the first side and number 6 on the second side. Cause you get, and then you had to have, you know, throw in certain things that they used to throw in on those KTEL records. But it's like, man, I wouldn't want to have to sequence a record to save my life. That would be horrible. You have to
figure out. It's tough, right? Yep.
Yep. At least now with CDs and the Spotify's and the Apple Music and stuff like that, at least it's just one string of songs, right? It's not, unless you put stuff on vinyl, which I buy vinyl now. It's cool. And I do see that you guys are going to have a vinyl release too, right?
Yeah, Frontiers was cool with that. I think on the last one we didn't have vinyl right away, and then they decided to put it out. But this time the vinyl for the other two records sold pretty quickly, so they just decided to go with it right away. So yes, yeah, so we're gonna have vinyl. It's awesome.
Cool. You know when that's coming out?
July 9th. I mean, no, excuse me, June 9th. I think it's all dropping. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Nice.
Yeah.
I must have missed the vinyl release for the first record, so I have to try to dig one up somewhere.
Yeah, first they're second around. Record. They're around.
Yeah, just laying around somewhere, right? Your garage or?
For me, no. It's like I have like literally. I mean, no bullshit. I have one copy of each record. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
That's it. They send us like, you know, like how many guys in the band? 4. Oh, you get 4 records. That's it.
We wouldn't want you to do any self promotion or anything, right?
no giveaways here.
That'd be bad.
Yeah,
that'd be bad. So, when you guys aren't tour, I mean, since when you're not making music and stuff like that, what are you doing?
Well, I mean, I am actually I've done pretty well for myself over the years with various, you know, my musical endeavors and was silent partner in a couple of businesses. So I'm doing okay. And I'm kind of, you know, I mean, I'm not thinking about retiring, but I'm getting close to that point where it's something I'm thinking about more than I used to, obviously. So I just try and keep busy now with, you know, a lot of mixing. And so my main gig is mixing, and I'm actually in my studio right now. So doing a lot of mixing and you know, do some stuff for film and television, but not as much as I used to. So, and then there's, you know, this, you know, again, when the phone rings for Danger, there's that as well. So I'm believe me, between my family and all this other stuff, I'm pretty busy.
Yeah, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. How's the music industry changed for you from Danger to today?
Oh, it's
light years.
Horrible, dude. It's just, you know, it's. I mean, you know, I don't want to get on my soapbox and start crying, poverty or anything. But it's just terrible. And it all stems from the introduction of, I don't want to say the computer. I think it's more just the way the world has evolved and the way streaming is and the phones and all of that and. Everybody wants it now and nobody wants to pay for anything. And, you know, I always, you know, think about it like the bands and live music is the only industry that I could think of, with the exception of the really big bands like, you know, the Bon Jovis and the Def Leppards and the Crews and all of those, you know, bigger bands that can play arenas and stadiums and all of that. Like, but all the lower tier bands like Danger and, you know, all these other bands, it's like the price of admission never goes up. And I always sit there and I go, wow, that is like amazing. You know, you can go to the supermarket and you used to be able to buy dinner for 4 for $20. And now it's $80.
Yeah.
You know, so like everything is going up. Everyone is crying about inflation and this and that. Yet the club owners don't want to raise the ticket price from, you know, $15 or $20 to $40 or $50, which is where I think it should be. I mean, you know, you can't go to a movie for less than $20 now. It's insane. So, you know, I don't know what to do about all of that. And I mean, you know, between that And the fact that the internet and streaming and all that has introduced a myriad of subpar music.
Yep. Disposable music is what I call it.
Yeah, but there's just so much crap out there. Before, when we were coming up, you literally had to impress somebody before you even got a chance for other people to hear your music. You know, we had to impress a label. We had to impress an A&R guy. We had to impress disc jockeys. You know, no one was just like putting everything out there and letting the public decide what they like or not. Now, of course, that's good for the lesser known, you know, or bedroom artists that, you know, were just trying to, you know, get their music out there. That's cool and everything. But I always believe that, you know, there should be some merit in this, and there should be some governing body that kind of decides what's good and what's not. You know, I mean, it's not a perfect system, but it seemed to work back in the day. So, yeah, so it's just changed. So there's no money to be made. There's no, you know, every artist is fighting for scraps and fighting for that little bit of attention that, you know, someone might give you when they're looking at their phone real quick. You know, how do you get your video out there so that everybody can hear it? And, you know, before they're listening to some other band. So it's really bad out there. But at the same time, you know, it's what I do and it's what we do. So we're not necessarily doing it for monetary gain, but we're doing it because we love music and it's what we've been doing and always have been doing. So we continue doing it. You know, my wife kind of looks at me sideways now and says, "Oh, what are you doing that for now? You know, what are you wasting your time with that for?" And I'm like, "Okay, well, what am I going to do? Start driving a cab now?" You know.
Well, you're not built that way, right? I mean, that's not where you get your drive from.
No, it's a little bit late for me, you know, to be in careers at this point. So I just feel bad because, you know, I want the music to continue, whether it's mine or whether it's, you know, some young kid that just picking up the guitar because his dad brought him to an Ugly Kid Joe concert. You know what I mean? So it's like, I feel bad for those people because I want rock music to survive or some form of it, you know?
Yeah.
And it seems like it's like a, you know, it's going to be a tough road with that, you know?
Yeah. And it's kind of, because to your point, there's really no forum or format for new artists or even new rock music. You can't get it. It's really hard to find. I mean, yeah, I cannot think of what's the in your car radio. You know, there's no station playing new rock music. I mean,
no,
they're not doing that.
No, you know? it's because of the whole TikTok thing and all the kids just, you know, this is what's dominating, you know, the youth of the world. You know, these quick minute and a half songs. From, you know, and so what's going to bring rock music back? You know, I always hear people say, "Oh, well, you know, there's going to be this one band of kids that's just going to break through and they're going to, you know, bring it back." And I'm like, "Well, where are they? I've been waiting for this band for 20 years."
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was going to be what's that band that came out of that sounded like Zeppelin? I forgot their name.
Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah, everyone was saying it was going to be them. It wasn't them.
Yeah, I thought it was too. I really thought after I heard a couple of theirs, I'm like, okay, finally, we're going to go back and start reviving some of this type of music. And it just didn't happen. And actually, now, I mean, they lasted a few years. And I mean, they're still out there. There's no question about it. But they
didn't have that, like, that groundswell of rush that would change, you know, the youth of America or the youth of the world, like to change it back in the trajectory of drums and guitars and, you know, loud music or whatever you want to call it. It's music with an edge. Now it's like I don't know, man. I don't know how it could come back now. I really don't. But I, you know, I'm hoping. I keep listening for songs with guitar in them. That's my new thing. That's not how many guitar in it. I'll take a clean guitar. I'll even accept that now. Give me something.
Anything.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I was XM radio. That was the radio I was thinking about. You know, there's you know, they've got 200 stations, and they don't have any station that's playing new rock.
No, it's all legacy stuff.
It's all,
What was that one station? What was it called? Like Liquid something? Or
yeah, they still have that channel on there, I think.
Yeah, there was. But those bands are old now.
Yep.
I'm like, oh my God. So yeah, man. I hope it turns around, but I don't know, man. It's not looking too good for that.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah. That's just a challenge everywhere.
Such an uplifting conversation.
No, I mean, but you know, the thing about it
I
is,
know, that, man, I hear you, man.
Hopefully, people listen. You know, we don't have a huge following, but we have a following, and it does cause them to, you know, this is what I liked about doing this. You know, you guys are a great band. This is great music, and hopefully, you know, if you get five people to listen to it, and somebody buys the records and they pass it on to somebody else, that's the only way it's going to get your anybody else is going to find out about it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, you know, again, it's we're going back to the ground, you know, grassroots, you know, and it's just this is the only way you could spread it around. So you do it. If you get two fans here and two fans there, and you know, hopefully they just keep adding up, and something happens. You know, I would love for it to happen on a grander scale, though. Not for me. I'm just saying in general. You know.
Yeah, I think the rock genre in general, to your point, needs. It'd be good for them to have a big boost.
Yeah. I feel bad because all the bands that are still, you know, out there doing it that are generating, you know, crowds and this and that, they're all getting really old, man. And I'm just like, wow, well, who's going to take their place when, you know, obviously there's the, you know, the bands from the 90s and 2000s that are still out there. So I suppose, you know, in 10 years or 20 years, they'll be the bands that are getting old. But it's just like, you know, it's a little bit weird when I look out there and see what's going on, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it, you know, you start thinking about the, you know, the big, big bands from the 80s that are still out there touring, and some of them don't sound like they used to, obviously, because you can't, right? It's not possible. It's called age.
Yeah. Nobody knows. It's unforgiving, right? Father Time is undefeated.
Yep, wins every time. Yeah. And then as, you know, as it changes too, you end up with bands that end up with either one or no members left that are still carrying on the name, you know, trying to carry the name, which, you know, you still cling to, you know, sometimes you cling to those bands, and Foreigner's a good example, you know, where it's phenomenal music and still putting out phenomenal music, but you know, Mick Jones doesn't even go out with them anymore. So,
yeah, it's exactly what you're saying. Yep.
Yeah, it's tough, but again, I'm going because I love the music.
Exactly. I was just going to say this. There's some tribute bands out there that are doing better than original acts. You know, it's insane. But you're right. There is a thirst for it, and people want to still go out and see bands and, you know, have a good time like back in the day. And it's like, so, you know, again, like to your point, like maybe there's going to be a band that comes out and there's a resurgence of it, though we can only hope, right?
I only hope. I mean, I thought when Mammoth came out with, you know, Wolfgang Van Halen, that was a great record. And I thought, oh, maybe this is going to be the one. And yeah. Wasn't the one. Wasn't the one.
Well, just missed. Yeah, no. I mean, you know, you just gotta hope that, like you said, like you're taking your kids to concerts, or there's other dads out there that are taking their kids to concerts, and you know, maybe those kids and their friends get together and do something magical. So, I mean, that's the only thing. That's the only way it can happen. So, hopefully it will.
Yeah, and you know, when I see a kid at a concert and his dad's standing there, I look at him and I say, you know why you're here? And he, you know, to the kid, and he'll say, yes. And, you know, just really nice. I said, that's because you have a really good dad.
Yeah. I wish you could tell that to my son, who has no interest in it.
I've at least influenced mine. Now, one of them has a thing with, he really is a big Dave Matthews fan, which I really can't figure out. I keep telling him I think I dropped him on his head or something, but
you know, my son likes like hardcore rap music, so
yeah,
there is that. Yep.
So we just take it for what we can, right?
It's funny because when I was growing up, you know, my father was a classical musician, right? And so you always think that, like, you know, you're always going to like what your parents don't like, right? Like, whatever your parents hate is going to be what you gravitate towards. So, you know, for me, it was, you know, Van Halen and Kiss and Aerosmith and, you know, those kind of bands, right? And so my entire wall in my room was all pictures of, you know, Kiss and Aerosmith and shit like that, right? And so, you know, what is the music that I can't stand? It's like, I don't really like rap music, right? I mean, I like some of it, but I can't relate to it. It's not that I don't like it. I can't relate to it. So yeah. Does my son love the music that I can't relate to? So it's just, I don't know, man. I think it's a father-son thing.
Well, I guess the other thing too is if it brings him passion and it brings him, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind what kind. I just, you know, I always ask him. I'm always like, can you tell me, you know, what you're attracted to? Like, tell me, what is it? Like, what can you relate to with the music? And his answer is just, oh, it sounds good. And I'm like, okay, all right, knock yourself out, you know. So yep. I don't know, man.
Parenting's tough.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't get any easier as they get older too. My kid's 15 and it's like, he's like 15 going on 40.
Yep. My youngest is graduating from college on Saturday. So.
Oh, wow. All right. So you're ahead of me. All right.
Yeah.
I started late.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, Bruno, thanks for spending a few minutes with me. I appreciate it. It was,
Well, thanks, man. I hope I wasn't too depressing over here. But
no, good discussion.
I just want to tell all your listeners to go out and check out our stuff and, you know, keep rock alive and, you know, go support your local bands. I mean, it's the only way it's going to happen.
Do you want to pimp your stuff? Like where people can find you?
I'm on old socials, you know, under my Bruno Ravel. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. You know, you got Danger. It's you know, again, on all socials and the Defiance also are on all socials. So we're out there. So it's just, you know, you do a little quick search, you'll find us and come and join the party.
Cool, man. All right. I want to take us out of here and hang on for just a second.
Sure.
All right. You guys know where to find us. We're on all the major outlets and we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.